Good morning. My name is Tobias Mogati, and I'm here today to share with you the chapter we just hear from our colleagues. A 12-year-old boy, looking out through a train windows, shouted, "Dad, look, the trees are going behind. They are moving very fast." His dad simply stared at him with so much joy and smiled. A young couple seated behind, looking at the boy, and said, "What's going on here?" "He is growing, but seems like he's acting like a childish. He must be having a mental disorder for his father not to be bothering." Suddenly, the young man exclaimed again, "Dad, look, the clouds are running." Behind us, the couple could not resist and said to the old man, "Why don't you take your son to see a doctor? He must be having a problem. You should take him to see a physician." The old man smiled and said, "I just did. We are just coming from a doctor. We are now feeling comfortable. My son was blind from birth. He just got his sight today from the very first time. His behavior may seem stupid to you. It is more than a miracle to me." This young couple just sat down there, lost for words, with a mixture of tears and shame in their eyes. Can you imagine if you will not be able to see in your life and suddenly your eyes are able to see within a minute? Jesus saw a man who was blind, and his disciples asked about his spiritual situation when they realized that this guy was not able to see. They wondered what happened to this guy, whether he was the one who committed some sins, or this maybe happened because of his parents. The story behind, during that time, the people believed that being disabled is not something which can just come easily, but that situation can happen just because there was some kind of sin or someone is being punished. But people didn't believe that such situation can also come through God's mercy, through creation. And I think that's why the disciples were kind of wondering why this man was blind. And so, because of that law, or because of that understanding in that culture, in that tradition, the disciples ran quickly to blame the man because of this situation. They blame him without knowing what was happening in his life. Just as this couple who were traveling with this guy in the train and rush quickly, wondering why this 24-year-old man was making some kind of childish judgments. But Jesus didn't put any blame to this young man. Instead, he told his disciple that no, he didn't do any sin, neither his parents. So from that moment, the disciples understand that being disabled has no relation with someone to be, you know, committed a sin. Maybe even today, some of us may wonder when they see someone in that situation and wondering what might happen to them. But I think since then, if someone is having some kind of disability within our community or within our society, we know now that there is no any correlation of sin and cause of such kind of disability or situation of somebody being blind like the person who was blind before. But also, Jesus looked at this young man with mercy and with a different ideas. He see the need within this guy, and he thought that there's something needed to be done. And because of that, as we hear from our fellow, Jesus decided to make this person to be able to see. He knew that this guy was in need, both physical and also spiritual. Because of that, Jesus was able to ask this man if he can be able to see. And Jesus make some wonderful miracles. The guy was able to see. This person was well known in that community because it seems like he was also someone who needed help from people, like a beggar. In that situation, it seems to me like the people who are in that community, they were very aware of his situation, both physically and also in terms of needs, income needs. So because of that, seems to me like people, since he was a beggar, seems to me like people maybe was giving him some help. And when he was able to see, many people in that community were not, they didn't know what was going on. Some were kind of wondering whether this is the same person they know every day. And some were kind of wondering, no, perhaps this is someone else. This is not the guy who used to beg from us every day. And because of that, the news spread quickly about the former blind man being able to see. The neighbors and those people who knew him, they were not able to keep quiet. They spread the news quickly, and the leaders and authorities of that community, the Pharisees, were now aware of what was happening, the blind man being able to see. Because of that, they were not able to keep quiet because of the pressure which was coming within their community. People want to know why and who healed this man. And because the Pharisees, they were not aware of who healed this guy, they also wanted to get more information from the former blind man. They called him, and during that interrogation, some questions they asked, what happened? He answered. But even though they were not believing or trust what the former blind man was telling them, they decided to bring some kind of blames to Jesus by saying, how comes this man can do these miracles during the Sabbath day? In that culture, or during that time, the Sabbath day was not a day where someone can be healed. It was a special law that nobody can be healed on the Sabbath day. And because of that, the Pharisees seems like they had some kind of a blame to put to Jesus, that this guy, we don't believe him. First, because this man violated our rules. This man, if he's from God, how comes he didn't know that on the Sabbath day, with this kind of problems or with this kind of disability, he could wait until the Sabbath day is over? There was no rush. This situation was not an emergency situation. And how comes this man violated this law? Because of that, some of them said, this man is not from God. But others said, well, if this guy is not from God, then how comes he performed this kind of miracle? Because nobody else since, we never had anybody was healed, someone who is blind since his birth, but this is the first time we hear this kind of miracle. Because of that, there was some kind of division within the Pharisees. Some says, no, he's not from God. He should know more and be aware about the law and our Sabbath. Some says no. So those two things, coming from God and obeying the Sabbath day, were some of the big things the Pharisees were kind of debating about Jesus. They throw this guy out, and they decided to find more evidence. And at that time, they continue with their interrogation. They call the blind man's parents. They ask if they know this man, and the parents answered, yes, this is our son. One thing we know from him, he was born blind, but now he can see. They want to know if they were aware of the healer, and then they said, well, we don't know more. The only thing we knew is that this is our son. He was born blind, but now he can see. And again, it seems like the parents, they were kind of afraid of the Pharisees, the Jews, because they are also familiar with that society and the rules, and perhaps they were also Jews. So here it seems to me that even though they were happy perhaps of their son to be able to see, but on the other hand, they were very afraid to witness to the authorities. They called the blind man, the former blind man, for the second time. But during this time, the former blind man continue with the same story, and he was kind of wondering, why do you want to know more about what happened to me, even though I've already told you? But they said, you know, you have to tell the truth. And I think they were kind of trying to put some words on him and trying to make him afraid that, you know, you should obey God. Which I think they are also the witness that they also know that God is the one who perhaps worked through Jesus to make that miracle. But they told him, you have to say the truth. for the second time tell us what happened. But the story was the same, that I was blind, but the only thing I know, I can see. But the big question there, he told them, he asked them, do you also want to be his disciples? And I think because of that question, these Pharisees, the authorities, they were very frustrated. They were not happy with that question. And then they think that we can't maintain this any longer. They send him outside. But we should remember that when they throw him outside, it's when Jesus came and met this guy again. So this blind man, from the time when he was being healed by Jesus, seems to me like there was no any connection or there was no contact between the former blind man and Jesus until the blind man or the guy who is now seeing was thrown out of the synagogue by the Pharisees' leaders. At that moment is when he met Jesus, and there was just a simple question that, do you want to believe in Jesus? Do you want to follow him? And he was wondering, who is that man? And to me, it seems like even though Jesus healed this man up to that moment, he didn't know anything about Jesus. Jesus didn't even come to him and trying to lobby him so that he can witness to the Pharisees. But he came and witnessed to the Pharisees, and Jesus was far away from him. But I think the important thing here is that when they throw him out of the synagogue, perhaps he was not one of them. And remember, he told them that, will you want to join, to follow him? They said, no. We know about Moses, and they are the disciples of Moses, and you now trying to teach us. You are the disciple of him. And I guess there, the Pharisees themselves, they committed and they claim that you are the disciple of him, which to me seems to me that they already accept that Jesus is making his own ministry. And to me, it also seems that they also making judgments of not accepting the work which God did through Jesus to be able to open the eyes of this guy who was blind. In that case, they remain with their understanding of Moses' law and their God, and now the former blind man is walking away with understanding of disagreeing with the top authorities of the law or authority of the country and starting his own ministry with someone whom the authorities didn't even accept. That thing is very huge. Can you try to imagine this guy trying to violate or to disagree with the authorities and now coming to this guy? Anyway, Jesus started a new system. Jesus started a new movement, a movement of those people who accept Jesus and confess that he is the Lord. So this is something very important, that when we follow Jesus, sometimes, especially for those of us who are from the traditional and troubles, we have to make some kind of commitment that I, from today, I disagree with some of trouble or traditional ways of life and decided to join a new faith. a faith whereby traditional rules have no meaning sometimes, not at all, but sometimes, especially like when we look at this story of the former blind man, the healing was something very important to this man, I think even with his family and the whole society. But it seems to me that the Pharisees, they care more about the Sabbath day and keeping the Sabbath, but they cared more about this man being able to see. So, when we make those kind of judgments to get out there and come to join Jesus in a new faith, it's not easy. It's not easy because somehow you will be thrown away from your own society, from the people whom you know very well, from the people whom you depend on, but now you are coming to join another faith. But I think it's a time of not worried. We don't need to worry anything. Like this former blind man, there's no any sign that he was worrying or even wondering about joining this new faith. It seems to me like when the Pharisees decided not to listen to these miracles, they were kind of pretending, according to their understanding, that they were doing the work of God. But it seems like the Bible saying that since you think or you say you see, now you are blind. It is just like us today. There are so many times we think that we are able to see, and perhaps we are making good judgments, but perhaps we are doing sometimes differently and not according to the will of God. So let us not see the Pharisees as Pharisees, but this story is also for us today. How do we walk with Jesus, and how and where can we make a stop that this is for Pharisees, this is for the law, and this is for us? But also, it is very important to separate the two. We are the light of the world. We have to follow Jesus and be the disciple of Jesus even today, which means through our work and through our working hard, we have to match our actions and thoughts according to the whom we are working for, according to the one whom we decided to follow. This is Jesus Christ. It is very hard to match the two things and saying that you are a Christian following Jesus. At the same time, you do some of the things which may be against the will of God. So we have to be the witness, and that means that we have to do according to the one whom sent us. Today, there are so many divisions even in our congregations. People are judging and people are pulling on their sides. And these, when I sit down and looking what is taking place in our churches today, is just like those who were in that committee of the Pharisees. What they were doing was just making, you know, sides. Those who said, this guy's from God, the other said no. Today, we fail to be able to see the need and solve things as Christian. What we are doing is to divide people, and even our churches are dividing because of the conflict. We rush quickly to judge. We rush quickly to judge others. I think these are the things we need to be careful today in our churches. The other thing, I guess, we should see today in our neighborhoods and even in our congregations, that Jesus was not lifting himself. He didn't even walk to the community and say, I am the one who make him able to see. Some of us, we pretend, we rush quickly to lift ourselves and show people how we are. We forget that Jesus is the one helping us or blessing us. When God or Jesus bless you, you need not to show the world, but you should be humble and be someone who is not, you know, lifting up and show people whatever the kind of the blessings they have, not through helping the people in need in our society, but by pulling them away. One day, one of my neighbor, whom she was from Kenya, she was ill, and she needed medical attention. When he called me, we tried to walk around, going to clinics around Goshen area here. Every place we go, we were told, we are full. We don't accept new patients. This person was very ill. The thing is, the second question or the second answer was, what kind of insurance do you have? And the kind of the insurance she had was not accepted. She was very ill. She didn't get help at all. She didn't know where to go. For the good thing, after visiting several places, I thought for the second time, why don't I call my wife? Perhaps she can at least give some kind of advice. When I called, it was a little bit longer for her to pick the phone. And then I decided to call through the office phone number. And somebody catch the phone, and then I said, I introduced myself, and the people working in that office, they know me. They say, oh, who is sick, you? Then I say, no, my neighbor. Oh, we are sorry. We don't accept people at this moment. I say, wow, even at my wife's office. Anyway, I realized that this is was a system whereby for people to get in, you have to have some kind of prior requirements and prior some kind of, you know, if you don't fit them, then no service for you. Anyway, my wife called back. When he called back, I told her about the story, and she gave us some kind of advice. She said, well, take her to a place called the OP. There we went, and we found a sign that they open late from late evenings. Anyway, we went back. She got medical attention. This is a group, I think, of some physicians who are volunteering to help the people who may be not fitting some areas where they cannot be accepted. You can't blame the doctors and the people who are working in those areas, but I think it is just because of the system, the setup of the system behind those areas. And these systems divide people. This system makes some of us to suffer a lot, especially when we need attention from doctors. But the good thing, this person got treated, but once she was well, you know what kind of decision she made? She said, I'm not gonna stay in Goshen area anymore. There's no many Kenyans around here. He used to work in a certain area. I'm not gonna touch the name. I'm not gonna call the name. But she said, when I'm healthy and strong, they love me. When I'm sick, they hate me. I'm going to a place where maybe there are so many Kenyans who can help him, can help her during the time of need. And I'm wondering how many people in our societies perhaps are suffering, and even now, just like my neighbor who was from Kenya. So before I finish my time here, I also want to tell you that the same vice of John 9, we read it all over the world. And perhaps if I will be in Shirati, Tanzania today, what they would like to hear, maybe not about the Pharisees' blindness and arrogance, they would like to hear about the need they have there and what Jesus can do to them. They have drought, for example, for a long time. Their animals are dying. People don't have food to eat. These are the things, I guess, they will ask God to do and heal them. But I think we also, if I'm in Africa, in Shirati, I will remind them that if I'm sick, if anybody is sick, even though our government is very poor, but people have free access of medical attention, if they don't want to go to private facilities, the government, they have their own areas people can go. So I also remind them, these are the areas we can pray for our brothers in U.S. And also, I'm also reminding you, please pray for our brothers in Tanzania, especially at this time where they have been missing rain for a long time. This is my first time to stand here to share the Word of God as a preacher, even though I've been in AMBS for many years. I never had that chance. Even though I've been in this church for many years, that doesn't mean that there's a chance there for people to grab. It's just me. I never come up and grab it. And I would like to thank the worshiping committee here, at least to invite me, to call me with the name and ask it, Tobias, would you like to share? Some of us, we are from the cultures where you need to be called. We don't just grab, you know, those open spaces when they offered them. So I'm so sorry for not being able to share. And it's my first time, and I'm shaking a lot. But I think when you go out, remember that we need to confess and we need to show that Jesus is the way. And when we accept him, he is the leader and we have to follow. Thank you.